This is so important. I want to be a help. I want to help you. Ephesians 5, verse number 15. See then you walk circumspectly, not as fools. The word circumspectly has to do with uprightness, but there's an idea here also of if you're in the woods and you think you hear a bear, you get on high alert. At least I do. Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Boy, I love that. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Can I say this one more time? It's a tragedy for me or you or anyone else to live out our days never knowing what the will of the Lord is for our life. And even on a daily basis, you do realize this. I'm just reminding you that there's going to come a day that we are going to give an account before God for every word that proceeded out of our mouth. We're going to give an account for our days. And I don't think we think like that, but we need to, and we need to realize that. Be, verse number 18, here's really where I'm looking. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. If the Lord would help me tonight, and I realize that I will barely scratch the surface here, but I want to talk to you for a little bit on being filled with the Spirit. Verse number 18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I'd never seen this before, never really thought about this until I began to study today during the day on this subject of how many things in this world that Satan tries to counterfeit something that God has, and Satan tries to counterfeit that. And I think that it's really unusual, or maybe not so unusual, that in this scripture the Lord says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Why did the Lord put those two things in that same verse? If you look in Acts 2, verse 12, then they were amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? And others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. In other words, they're saying these men are drunk. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall see dreams. Did you notice the correlation here of these people being filled with the Spirit of God and the natural, carnal, ungodly men likening that to drunkenness? That's one of those things that Satan tries to counterfeit in the human flesh. Being full of the Holy Ghost of God is not a good suggestion, a thing that would be a good thing to do. It's a command from God for us to be filled with the Spirit of God. And here, as I look at this, one of the first earmarks of being full of the Holy Ghost of God is boldness. By definition, that means courage, bravery, fearless, confident, freedom from being bashful or being timid. You see how that correlates? You see that falseness that Satan throws in there with folks with alcohol? It takes their fear away, tries to make them fearless. But I just saw that today, but I want to talk to you more about what we need to know about being filled with the Spirit of God or filled with the Holy Ghost of God. Why do we need to be full? The Word of God told us over there, we were looking the other night in the book of Luke, chapter 15, if ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? And this has got to do with, why do we need to be full of the Holy Spirit? Because it empowers us to do the work of Christ. The Lord Jesus made a provision to empower His people to do everything that He's going to hold us accountable for doing, but we're not going to be able to do it in the power of God without the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. That's why we see Baptist churches, we see churches of all stripes and flavors, denominations, that are doing everything in their own power on Sunday mornings to draw a crowd into the church. And I know what they say. They say, well, preacher, it doesn't matter how you get them in as long as you get them in, and then you give them the gospel when they get there. The problem is when you use all these foolish, carnal, worldly methods to get people in the house of God, you've already grieved the Holy Ghost of God, and you're not going to have anything to give them when they get there. You may have a whole lot of flowery things to say. You may have exciting things to do, and you may have lively music. You may even get people to come to an altar and make a profession, but apart from the power of the Holy Spirit of God, there'll be no drawing power, there'll be no conviction, and there'll be no conversion. We need to be full of the Holy Ghost of God. The Word of God said in Acts 4:13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. The key, the secret to being full of the Spirit of God and being able to walk in the fullness of the Spirit of God is spending time with Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying tonight? In reality, this is misunderstood in such a way that I was even questioned about this since I've been here at this church. And I'm not belittling anybody by any stretch of the imagination. If people don't ask questions, sometimes you just don't know. But here, I want us to understand the reality of being full of the Holy Ghost is not you getting more of the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost getting more of you. You see, there's been a lot of confusion by a lot of people that misunderstood, and sometimes some of the sweetest, most humble people just simply misunderstood the work of the Holy Ghost of God, and they worked their lifetime trying to have some supernatural experience that's somehow going to take them to another level, and they're going to be able to ride that thing out till Jesus comes. I've got news for you. Being full of the Holy Ghost of God's not a one-time deal. I'll come back to that later. There is a vast difference in having the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost having you. That ain't the same thing. 1 Corinthians 12:12, for as the body is one. What body? Your body, my body, the physical body, is one and hath many members. That means your appendages, your limbs, the parts of your body. And all the members of that one body being many are one body. So also is Christ. Now we're speaking of the body of Christ. For by one Spirit, capital S, are we all baptized into one body. Is that talking about going to the creek and being dumped into water? Absolutely not. This is the baptism of the Holy Ghost of God. When you're saved, when you're born of the Spirit of God, the moment you're regenerated, the moment you're birthed into the family of God by the power of the Holy Ghost of God, the Holy Spirit of God baptizes, immerses you into the body of Christ. You become a child of God and a part of the body of Christ. For as by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:17, I quote all the time, therefore, if any man be in Christ, what does that mean to be in Christ? That means that you were baptized at salvation by the Holy Spirit of God into the body of Christ. You're in Christ. Christ is in you. Christ is in God the Father, and I ain't getting out of the deal. John 14:6, Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Why would the disciples need another comforter? Because the Lord Jesus in his flesh is leaving planet Earth. He's going to ascend back to heaven and be seated at the right hand of the Father to make intercession for the saints of God. But Jesus said, don't worry, I'm going to send you somebody to comfort you, and he may abide with you until you mess up. Oh, that's not what that says. He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit, capital S, the person of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Jesus said, I'm with you right now, but I'm leaving. But when I leave, I'm sending my Spirit back to dwell inside of you. And I won't just be walking with you, I'll be in you. And that's the promise of the Comforter. Ephesians 1:12 says that we should be to his praise of his glory, who first trusted Christ, when whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. The word sealed means to stamp with a signet or a private mark for security and preservation. That's what the word sealed means. Earnest means a pledge that is part of the purchase money on a property given in advance as a security for the rest. The Lord Jesus has already given us the Holy Spirit of God to let us know that's just a down payment on eternity. But I'm telling you what, we got something to be happy about tonight. We got something to shout about tonight, that God's given his children the earnest. The deposit, if you will, has already been paid on our eternity, and it's the Holy Spirit of God living inside of us. Can I tell you this? You can have as much God as you want. The problem is, there's a whole lot of folks just don't want much. And that's why you don't see a whole lot of folks full of the Holy Ghost of God. Now, I've got a lot to say about this, and there's a lot I wish I could get across to you and help you understand. But I'm telling you, the only way you're ever going to see yourself in that place where you can be pleasing to God, and I mean really pleasing to God, you're going to have to be full of the Holy Ghost of God. people who are full of the Spirit of God are peculiar people. They're not ordinary people. I never met many people in my life, and I'm not being smart aleck. I'm not being cruel towards anyone or anything, but I've just not seen a lot of people in my life that were full of the Holy Ghost of God. I know one lady back in Lenore, North Carolina. I could tell you that lady was full of the Holy Ghost of God. I knew one lady in Asheville, North Carolina that was full of the Holy Ghost of God, and she's already been translated into glory. When you get around people that are really full of the Holy Ghost of God. I'm not talking about pretenders. I'm not talking about false prophets, but people that are full of the Holy Ghost of God. If you're not walking right, they'll make you nervous. Well, I'm going to give you some steps to being filled with the Spirit. Step number one, decontamination. We cannot be full of the Holy Spirit of God when we've got so much garbage piled up on the inside of us, we ain't got room for Him. He said, I thought you said we have the Holy Ghost inside of us. We do, but I feel like a whole lot of the time He's curled up in a ball in a corner somewhere about to die. He ought to have liberty. He ought to have liberty. I'll tell you what we can do to be full of the Holy Ghost. We can confess and forsake our known sins. When God shows you you've sinned, there are sins of omission and there are sins of commission. Sins of commission is when you do something wrong and you know you did something wrong. And sins of omission is when God tells you to do something and you don't do it. You say, I didn't do nothing. Yeah, that's the problem. God told you to do something. When God deals with us about our sin, we need to deal with it right then, right there. Listen, I'm human. I'm sorry. I mess up. Hope I don't never mess up and drag the name of God through the mud, but I do mess up. Not been so awful long ago, year or two ago, I was in a Walmart in Florida, one of the most demon-oppressed businesses I've ever been in my life. Ask my wife, ask anybody that lives in that community. They hate to go to that Walmart. You walk in the door and it's like there's demons 10 feet thick in there. The place is completely taken over with the homeless and drug stuff going on everywhere. And it's just a wicked place to be. And I went in there and I tried to do a business transaction at the desk. And before that was over, they had me so mad. God showed me a lot of grace. Now listen to me, look at me. I didn't cuss, I didn't use no bad language, and I didn't hit nobody. You don't know what a miracle. Miss Stephanie, I said some things to one of those ladies in there that I should have never said. Can I clarify, brother? What I said was right. I just didn't have a right to say it. And I shouldn't have said it. And I was mad and I was fuming, and that made me feel better for about 3 seconds. And I turned and I walked out of that building, and I was still fuming. And by the time I got to the end of the parking lot, the Holy Ghost of God was shaking me. And on the inside, I was shaking, buddy, because I knew that I had allowed this ungodly world to dictate to me how I was going to act and what I was going to do. Miss Lori, we wound up going home. I didn't say much to her about it. And God got to bother me about that, Brother C.L. My fellowship with God is more important than anything on planet Earth. God said, you're going to do something about that. And I got the number to Walmart, and I left the house, and I went out the yard, and I called that Walmart store, and I said, can I speak with the manager? And this timid lady answered the phone, She just knew she was about to get cussed out. And I said, ma'am, I said, I was there a while ago and had a difficulty with one of your workers at the desk up front. And I'm sure she'd already probably knew that and probably done heard. And I said, I just want you to know that it does not matter who was right and who was wrong. I said some things I should have never said. And I want to tell you that I'm sorry, and I want to ask you, would you please, I don't want to bother your worker while they're on the clock, but would you please tell that lady at the service desk that I called you and that I've apologized and I'm sorry and I wish I'd never done it, but I did, and I just want to ask her to forgive me. It so stunned that woman on the other end. I thought for a minute she was sobbing. And she said, you don't have any idea. You don't have any idea what that means to me for you to call. Hey, listen, I don't know what it meant to her, sister, but I know what it meant to me. It meant the difference in having the fellowship of God and not having the fellowship of God. And if we're going to be full of the Holy Ghost of God, we got to take care of our sins. Decontamination. Getting rid of the stuff in our hearts, confessing and forsaking. And once you deal with the known sin, how about asking God to reveal the secrets of your heart? Boy, we just jumped in headlong deep right there, didn't we? Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and who can know it? Do you realize that unless God reveals it to us, brother, we can't even know our own heart. God has to show us. You say, what are you talking about? Feelings, bitterness, envy, strife, jealousy, pride. Stuff. We get stuff back in there. And we let it ride along with us so long that it gets to feeling normal, and it's like we don't even pay it any attention anymore. But when you get to really needing the power of God and you get to really needing the fellowship of God, there comes a time you got to have cleaning out. I mean, there comes a time there's some stuff that needs to be done away with, and it's decontamination. Now, I ain't picking on nobody, okay? I ain't been here long enough. You've got to love me. If you get mad at me, you've got to forgive me. Me and Brother Don was walking down the hall the other day, and he was pointing out doors here and yonder. How long has it been since y'all walked down the hall in the basement and looked in all them doors? Brother Don, being the diplomat he was, he said, storage. I looked at him right there. Storage? Garbage. We need to throw some of this stuff away. Amen. There's some time. Hey, if you ain't used it in the last 2 or 3 years, you're probably never going to use it. But see, I'm being funny and I'm being comical about that, but you need to understand there are things we've harbored in our hearts sometimes, Brother Seal, for years. Until we got used to hanging on to it to the point it ain't bothering us. But if you really want to be right with God and you want to be full of the Holy Ghost of God, there comes a time that you're going to have to get rid of some of that stuff, and there's going to have to be a decontamination. I give another thing. If you want to be full of the Holy Ghost of God, there's got to be a time of humble adoration. Humble adoration to adore the Lord Jesus. Not so much for what he's done, Brother Danny, but for who he is. He deserves to be worshipped for who he is. If he don't never do nothing for me. And did you know in the model prayer, the Lord Jesus prayed, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He took time to tell the Father how holy he is. Me and my wife's got our own language, and we meet people from time to time, you know, and you'll meet one of these guys, and buddy, they're so sweet. I mean, sugar wouldn't melt in their mouth. My wife will look at me and she'll say, schmoozer. Schmoozer. He wanting to sell you snake oil. Schmoozer. I'm not talking about schmoozing, but I'm talking about a humble recognition and a genuine gratitude and a genuine thankfulness for the goodness and the grace that God's give us. And I'm talking about when you go to pray. Hey, this getting full of the Holy Ghost of God's going to come about when you're alone with God. It's going to come about in your private time, in your fellowship time with God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And when you're alone with Him, I don't know if anybody ever took any of you apart and really just taught you how to pray. I have no idea. Maybe they have, maybe they have. Doesn't matter. But I'm going to tell you tonight, you need time with God. And you say, I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to say. How about let me give you some pointers? Number one, pray out loud. Pray out loud. You say, preacher, can't I pray silently? Absolutely, you can. But there's something about praying out loud that gives you the advantage of your mind not wandering. There's sometimes you sit down, and instead of praying out loud, you go to thinking, and you'll be thinking. And first thing you know, now, y'all more sanctified than I am, but don't act like this ain't never happened to you. You'll sit down, and you'll get to thinking about 5 minutes worth of thinking. There's some fella that was your boss on the job 25 years ago, and first thing you know, you're telling him off in your mind. Now, don't act like that ain't never happened to you. That's why it's helpful to pray out loud, sister, because it helps bring in the wondering of our mind. Just to open your mouth, you say, I don't know what to say. Well, why don't you just start out telling God how good He is? I can't tell you how many times, Miss Lori, and I have ridden up and down the road hundreds and hundreds of thousands of miles on different vehicles, and I get to praying, and I'm not sure what to say, but I can always say, God, I just want to thank you for every time you kept us safe, for every time you kept us out on the highway from getting involved in an accident. And Lord, the way you kept us all the miles we've gone, never breaking down, Miss Lori, not sitting beside the road somewhere broke down and crying, wondering what's going on. And you start thanking God for how good He's been and humbly adoring Him for who He is and what He's done for you. And I'm going to tell you what you'll find. You ain't going to brag on Jesus long, but what the Holy Ghost will show up and see what's happening. I'm telling you, just sit down and pour your heart out to Him. You say, I'm not even sure I know what to say. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Do you understand you can pray in the Holy Ghost of God? Brother, that's literally when you get in that place of fellowship with God that you get hooked. We call it getting hooked up, Miss Lori. We call it getting hooked up. You can call it getting plugged in. And when you get plugged into to 220 or 440, then it gets a whole lot easier to pray. And first thing you know, And I'm not talking about some weird hokey experience. I'm talking about, have you ever been so close to somebody you could about finish one another's sentences? Me and my wife's that way all the time. Did you know you can have the nearness of God, that the Holy Ghost of God can help you pray? He can help you pray. Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, and it searcheth the hearts and knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying if you want to pray, you just need to get somewhere by yourself and just pour your heart out. Hey, listen, the cab of a pickup truck's a great place. Out behind the house, you got a storage building somewhere, that's a great place. Mama get the kids off to school, get daddy off to work, and the house empty, and your kitchen's a great place. My wife's always had her prayer spot. That's where she went to. You've got to have your prayer spot and just pour your heart out to God and start with humble adoration, and then there needs to be an earnest invitation. Being yielded and submissive and totally surrendered to the will of God. In your prayer life, Lord, James 4:2 said, you lust and you have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not, because you ask not. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust. I told those young fellows, those young preachers over at Hooper's Creek, and I said this, and I mean this with all my heart, and I said this to preachers, but you can make the application to you. God the Holy Ghost is never going to fill you and anoint you so you can strut and be seen. Now, there's a lot of preachers that do well to learn that, that God is not going to fill you with the Holy Ghost just so you can strut and somebody tell you what a good preacher you are. I'll tell you another thing that would be good for preachers, quit believing everything everybody says about them, the good and the bad. An earnest invitation where you say, God, would you fill me? Would you fill me so I could have the power that I need to accomplish your will for my life? Today's a new day. I'm gonna face new things. I may meet some new people. And God, I want to ask you to fill me, so I can be that one sister that smiles, and I can be the one that's got joy. I promise you, you live in a day and age where you walk into Walmart or you walk into Walgreens or CVS, and if you got a little bit of joy about you, I promise you, you'll stand out from the crowd. If you got any joy whatsoever, that earnest invitation, Lord, I don't want you to fill me so I can be rich or so I can be noticed. And God, I don't want your power just so I look spiritual. And I'm afraid that I got a bunch of sweet, sweet Pentecostal friends. And I know a bunch of them that agree with me tonight. If they'd tell you the truth, they got a lot of friends even in their denomination that have the idea that they want some great spiritual gift, not so they can glorify God, not so they can honor Christ, but just so they can look more spiritual than other people. Let me help you. God ain't going to do it. He ain't going to play your game. God, he ain't going to play games with me. He's not going to bless me just so I can strut around and act like I'm a big shot. Earnest invitation. And there's a godly saturation. Ephesians 5:16 says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. I'll go ahead and try to get this in real quick because I know that many of us are going to want to run to the altar and weep our hearts out here. A godly saturation. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. The word redeeming means to ransom. It means to rescue from loss. To rescue our time from loss. Is it not amazing that 2,000 years ago, God, the Holy Ghost, inspired the Apostle Paul to tell us we need to be careful how much time we spend with our nose in that telephone. Redeeming the time. Rescuing our time. Because you ain't got but so much. According to this Bible, your days are numbered. You got so many clicks on that clock and it's over, friend. And the only thing that we're going to have in the world to come is what we prepared for in this world. We better be laying up some treasures and we better be making some fruit. And the Word of God said in Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. we need to have our mind on something besides some of the folks. And listen, I admit, once in a while, I do like to look at Fox News. Once in a while, you know, I like to sit down and watch Andy Griffith rerun once in a while. And there's not a sin to enjoy some of those things and have a little bit of leisure time. And there's not a sin in that. But I'm telling you, you better make sure you redeem the time. That you be thoughtful and you be mindful that you and I, and I'm going to be in the front of the line, I'm going to have to give an account one day of how we spend our time. They say, Brother Scott, that of the five people that you spend the most time with, you will be the sixth. Of the five people that you spend the most time with, you will be the sixth. What does that mean, preacher? You want to be wealthy? Surround yourself with wealthy people. You want to be a loser? Hang out with losers. You want to be a carnal religious hypocrite? Find you one and hang out. You want to be full of the Holy Ghost and have the blessings of God on your life and see God use you for His glory? Then get along with Jesus. And finally, and I'm through, and we're going to go to the house, there is separation and sanctification. I have stepped way deeper than I think we need to go tonight, but I'm just going to give you some verses and we'll go home. Separation and sanctification. We as children of God are in this world, but we are not of this world. And I've been around this thing long enough to realize, and my wife and I have had this conversation many times recently, that God's plan is for you and I to get along with Jesus like John the Baptist and come out of the desert, out of the wilderness once in a while, full of the Holy Ghost of God, have an impact on people, and then go back. But what we wind up doing, and God help me, because I've done that myself, instead of influencing other people, Brother Danny, get influenced by them. And instead of helping them, I find them dragging me down. And then one day I wake up and I feel like Lot, who vexed his righteous soul with the filthy conversation of the wicked. When we ought to be the ones making a difference, and we let other people influence us. And can I tell you this? If you're ever really going to walk full of the Holy Ghost of God, you're not really ready for this, but I'll give it to you. Brother Scott, your friend list is going to get real short. Real short. Learning to walk with God in light of the fact that Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. 1 Corinthians 6:19, what? Know ye not your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own? For you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Peter said it this way, for as much as you know you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received from the traditions of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. He deserves the reward of his suffering. 2 Corinthians 6:14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. And God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them and will be their God, and they shall be my people. To be filled with the Holy Ghost of God is not a one-time thing. I'm not saying this so you'll laugh, but you can. But Sister Sheila, we leak. We leak. If we didn't leak, I'd be full of the Holy Ghost all the time. But we leak. And we have to have maintenance. And that's part of why we come to the house of God, to do maintenance, to exhort one another, to love on one another, to worship, to adore the Lord. Jesus said in Luke 9:23, He said unto them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. What is the cross that the Lord's talking about us bearing? That cross is anything that you're going to suffer in this life because of the cause of Christ. But what is a cross for, and what is a cross about? A cross, Brother Sayle, is a place of death. And you know what we have to do? We have to crucify this flesh every day. Now let me stop right here and help you with something. I get way too frustrated over this, and the Lord's helping me. I get way too frustrated over this. I hear people make this statement, and if you've made it, don't get mad at me. Just stop making it. Okay? Well, we all sin and come short of the glory of God every day. What Bible do you read that in? You do not have to sin every day. As a matter of fact, if you're full of the Holy Ghost, you won't sin every day. You say, Preacher, how long can you go without sinning? How long can you stay full of the Holy Ghost? But surely I hope there's been a time in your life that you went more than 24 hours without sinning. You do understand temptation's not sin. Temptation's not sin. What happens when you sin? You break fellowship with God. Are you telling me you've never went more than 24 hours in your life without breaking fellowship with God? Dr. Stewart, who lived here in Asheville, just while I'm here, said his mother came to him one day, and she said, Son, she said, it's been such a sweet time of fellowship. And I don't remember exactly, Miss Judy, but I believe she said, Son, it's been more than a month of unending fellowship, just walking with God. Please don't put Jesus in a place where you say you have to sin every day. That's wrong. That's wrong on so many levels, because you don't. There's testimony after testimony, Miss Lori, of people getting saved, getting filled with the Spirit of God, go to bed worshiping, go to bed praising God, and full of the Holy Ghost, go to bed and sleep that night, and wake up the next morning and throw the cover off, and still full of the Holy Ghost of God. God lingering around so much. You remember after God moved that Saturday night there in West Jefferson at Big Ridge, and the next day, how the next day was just, it was just special. And there are special times, and I understand, brother, when you go out into this world, you get your feet dirty, and that's another message for another night. But you can walk circumspectly, and you can walk full of the Holy Ghost of God. And you can be that light for somebody somewhere. Somebody's counting on you. And if God did not want us to be full of the Holy Ghost of God, He would have never commanded us to be that way. Now, I have nothing more to say. I'm through. Stand to your feet. I love you. I've given you more than enough to think about. This is real. This is serious, brother. We're going to give an account one day. We're going to give an account one day. And I'm not naive to the fact that we live in a wicked, wicked world. And it's all around us. But if we're gonna have any effect on this world, we don't have a choice. We're gonna have to be full of God. I mean, just full of the Holy Ghost of God. I love it when I meet people and see people full of God. My daddy-in-law got saved, got born again a year before he died. And he joined a liberal mess of a church in Raleigh, North Carolina. He didn't know nothing, but he just knew he needed to go to church. And he had a buddy. He got a real friend named Ray Upchurch. Ray Upchurch was a chicken farmer. Ray Upchurch, I thought, first time I ever met him, first time I ever, Miss Judy, I was in church service. We'd went through this liberal service. They'd done some kind of something with a bunch of women deacons coming. Crazy, and I'm thinking, where can we get out of this deal? And that pastor, brother, called on Ray Upchurch. And Ray Upchurch, just a humble chicken farmer sitting right in there. Ray Upchurch bowed his head and opened his mouth. A man that got saved listening to Oliver B. Green on the radio in his pickup truck in the chicken farm. Ray Upchurch opened his mouth to talk to God. And the glory of God fell in that building. Because that man had been somewhere on that farm alone with God, getting full of the Holy Ghost. And he did not let everybody and everything around him stop him from being the light God meant for Ray Upchurch to be. You be a Ray Upchurch. Hallelujah. All right, Brother Danny, you pray for us. We'll go to the house.